All right, well, here we are with Ask the Mayor in Terre Haute this week. I feel like I was just here. I don't know if
it goes by really fast, doesn't it?
The months are just flying.
It really does.
Does it feel like summer in Terre Haute? Because ISU just had their commencement last weekend, as well as Indiana University. I assume a few others. Are you in that summer mode yet?
The weather doesn't seem to make me feel like it's summer, but you can sure notice the students being gone from our community. I mean, they pretty much are gone within a day or two of graduation, and traffic counts are down, and just people walking the streets are down, but it sure doesn't feel like summer. So I guess it's come very quickly this year.
I heard where one of the pools closed down this year. I believe it's the Deming Park pool. Sounded like it needed some repairs, and those can get pretty costly. So what's the future of that?
Well, it's an old pool, and it's been around for a very, very long time. We've put money in it the last 5 or 6 years. The park board kind of looked at the list for this year of about $25,000, maybe $30,000 worth of repairs that needed to be done, and just didn't feel like their budget could support that. And so they had made a decision a few weeks ago to close the pool. Well, I still think there's a little bit of life left to it, but we need to help them from a financial perspective with their budget. But we really need to get a better handle on exactly what needed to be done, what's coming next, and those kind of things. So we're working through that process right now. My goal would be to get it back open. Whether we get it open this year or not, I'm not sure yet, but next year for sure. I'm hopeful that we'll get it open at some point this year. And it's going to last us for a few more years. I think that with the investments we've made in it, we ought to be able to keep it alive, I guess, you know, and keep it in service. But at some point it has to be replaced. You reach a point where the pool itself is very, very old, and you can only make so many repairs to it. So we need a long-term plan. That's my preference, is to have that formal plan in place before we permanently close Deming Park Pool.
And revenue for a pool can be really tricky because it depends, I assume, a lot on weather. I mean, we're talking about this with Greencastle Mayor back when we were there with Sue Murray, and I think they built a splash pad. But it just depended. If you had a really cool summer, you didn't get those season passes coming in. And what
it's,
do you do?
It's all that weather dependent thing. And, you know, eventually you have some hot time during the summer, but part of the problem we have now is the pool water itself is typically not warm enough, and the kids don't get out of school till after that first week of June. So you're always talking about the second or third week of June before people really begin to use it. And then they go back to school in the middle of August, so the season is very short. All of our lifeguards come from the schools, and so when it's time to go back, they can't be lifeguards anymore either. So you kind of have that mix of the weather affects it, the ability to staff it is an issue. And then just, you know, we averaged about 60 people a day coming last year. And, you know, that's just not enough to sustain it by itself. So we're hopeful with some improvements we'll be able to get those numbers up a little bit.
Indiana primary night was about a week ago. Anything stand out to you? Any surprises in this area?
No, not really. You know, I pretty much played out the way I thought. There were a couple of local elections that were kind of interesting, that some people won county council, some things like that. But really overall, it kind of played out the way I thought it would. You know, there's a lot of voter, we had an increase in voters, which is good. We talked about that before too. You know, that's really important, but still it's too low. And I really think there's just a pushback right now on, you know, especially at that presidential level, people are looking for something different. They just want, they want to shake things up. And how that affects down ballot in the fall, I guess that remains to be seen. But I was encouraged, at least voting was up. There was some excitement. Hopefully we'll be able to carry that on over into the general election.
And there were some stops here too, wasn't there? Some of the presidential candidates.
You know,
what's that like for Terre Haute?
It was really a neat thing. And we've kind of had this back in 2008. But Ted Cruz came in the week before the election and spent some time here. Had a chance to interact with him, get to know him a little bit better and his family. Bernie Sanders stopped by for dinner one night. The day he was at IU and Purdue, he stopped here and had dinner. And so I was able to have a conversation with him for a little bit. And, you know, very interesting guy. And then right before the election then, we had Mr. Trump came in. And that was a really well-received event, very large crowd, and had to turn a lot of people away, actually. But just all three of them being here is good for our community. They know that Terre Haute is an important stop to make. It always has been, us being a bellwether community. I kind of have that historical perspective, but just knowing that it's important for a variety of reasons, and they all felt that they needed to come here, at least in Bernie's case, just stopped by here briefly. But you know, a lot of press associated with that. Hearing, you know, Donald Trump was in Terre Haute, Indiana. Ted Cruz was in Terre Haute, Indiana. Those kind of things on national news. I had the opportunity to do a 4-minute interview on MSNBC live. I was on BBC 2 different times. CNN called us. I mean, it was just really an exciting thing for all of us because Indiana mattered this year and Terre Haute was a part of that.
I didn't realize you had a chance to talk with some of the candidates. Do you feel yourself personally, especially as a member of the Republican Party, backing any candidate right now, or is it too early?
You know, I'd said all along, I'm backing the Republican nominee, whoever that is. And I know there's a lot of consternation with people to where Trump is at now, but it was just kind of good to know each one of them, just the brief few minutes that you have, just to kind of get a feel for, you know, personality and kind of really how, you know, all politicians can put on a persona. So you get a chance to see them not in front of a camera or in front of a crowd, and you kind of get to know them a little bit better and feel good about some things. Other things you're still questioning, but, you know, I'm supporting the nominee. And so as this process plays itself out, that's where I'm at.
Since we've talked, the trash fee ordinance passed, and has the dust settled on that right now?
Yeah, pretty much so. You know, I still get a lot of feedback from people in the county who say, I wish mine was only 10 and a quarter a month. I get that every single day. And then you've got others out there still thinking somehow that the property taxes are supposed to be covering that. When we've lost $12 million a year in property taxes, it just can't pay for those things. And so it's kind of a reality check, I think. A lot of people are like, okay, I get it. I understand, I didn't want to pay it, but we get that, and we at least know what's going to that, and we appreciate that. So I think we're kind of through all of the emotion of that part of the of doing it. Now we're working through the administrative side to get it on the bill that'll be due in July, will be the first bill, and so there's always a lot of work to do behind the scenes to get something like that done.
Now that the ordinance has passed, just kind of like the bottom line, what does that do now for the city budget?
Well, it helps the general fund where we pay for the trash contract out of. So basically, we're going to relieve it about $2.5 million a year. Won't for this year, we'll only collect about half of that. But for next year, we'll be able to take that out of the budget and put it in its own separate budget that has its own funding source. So it takes pressure off those property tax cap losses to help with the general fund. It's a very positive thing.
And so the next question is, okay, what's next in terms of the budget?
Okay, well, the budget is balanced for this year, our general fund budget. So we're gonna be making progress against the deficits we have in a few of our funds. You know, once again, we have about 82 funds and we've got about 6 or 7 that have an issue of those funds. And we'll be making some progress against those by the end of this year and much more progress by the end of next year. So we're moving in the right direction.
I wanted to read this question we had in from John. He says, in view of the reports that Terre Haute has budgetary problems, do you know the total amount of abated business property taxes in any given year, and how do those abatements impact the city's budgetary situation?
Well, it's a pretty minimal impact. I mean, when you add, and I don't have the specific number because there are a whole bunch of factors that go into that. The county's responsible for tracking that and telling us those things. And it gets complicated because it all depends at what level they're at in their abatement, whether they're following through with all those things, whether it's when you take in the tax caps against those numbers that they have to pay, whether it's in a TIF district or not. All of those things have to be calculated. So there's not just, you can't just say, well, it's this amount of dollars. And then it all depends where do those dollars go. Most of that goes into our general fund. So absolutely there could be an effect on the general fund, but it's very small compared to everything else. The tax caps obviously have devastated our general fund by $10 million a year there, and then $2 million for our sanitary district for a total of 12. And so those abatements that were given away long before the tax caps came, of course there's an effect, but we're not going to take those away just to try to make money back through because we have an agreement with those folks. And so it's much more complicated than what some people make it out to be, but yes, it has an effect. But I think the most important thing to keep in mind is If those companies hadn't invested in new equipment or build a new building, then we'd be still collecting the taxes that were being paid prior to that, which would be much less than what they're paying now. Even with an abatement, they're paying more than they would have been. So it's a balancing act between which ones do you support that make the most economic sense for all of us, and then others that don't make any sense, we shouldn't, you know, give an abatement on those. It's a complicated thing. There is no one direct answer. But yeah, it has an effect, but it's not as great of an effect as the tax caps or the loss of our assessed value. Those are the two things that have really hurt us bad.
And just to follow up, and I think you've answered this already, but I just want to make sure I answer his question. He wanted to know if you don't have that information, which, as you said, it's not like you can just go to a computer and hit a button and
exactly.
There's a number. Is there a way that you can get that information? Have you asked for it?
I've not asked for it. And I know who's asking this question. He's come to the city council meetings and asked the same question. And the county needs to provide that information. But to me, that's not as pertinent as a lot of other things that I have to manage. And so I think it's important, but it's not at the top of the list for me. Hopefully we'll get that information from the county. The city council had requested it. So it'll be something that they can use as a guide. It's because it'll tell you for 1 year what that effect is. The next year, other things can affect it in a different way.
So just to kind of go off of that question, I see where a developer wants to build a new, I guess you could call it a student apartment building, mm-hmm. what used to be the property of the Boys and Girls Club building. It's, from what I read, it's a four-story, about $25 million project, could start this summer, but the developer of that is asking the city for a five-year abatement. Normally, residential projects don't have abatements. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
That is correct.
So what's your take on this proposal?
You know, I can see where a developer would come in and to make the package, make the deal work, where they need some kind of an incentive, whether it's a TIF incentive, a tax abatement, help with hooking up the sewer, whatever. We get a lot of those requests. And the majority of them get approved because they're typically not residential. What's important in this community is we need residential and commercial growth. I mean, we need more residential here. Love to have single family houses, that's always the preference, but we need apartment buildings too. Almost half of the people that live in our community live in apartments, and that's true in many other metropolitan areas. A lot of people don't want the home ownership piece. So here we've got somebody who's wanting to make an investment on a piece of property that currently pays no property taxes. And so even with an abatement, this is a perfect example, they will now be paying property taxes that we're not collecting now. It's going to provide 400 beds for people to live in the downtown area right across the street from ISU. You know, seems like it's a legitimate request. Now, whether that fits the council's purview or not, we'll see. It doesn't appear that they're supportive of that. So I'm just sitting back here looking at, I want development. I'm looking for as much development as we can get. We do just have to be careful which things we abate and which we don't, because then every resident or, you know, every apartment complex would want one. So you have to make sure that it's in a distressed area, that it's really going to lead to the economic boon that you hope it is. You have to take into all those factors in every unique project and say, does it make sense for this one versus this one? That's the council's purview, and they'll decide that, not the mayor. But I want to see development, so I want to do as much as I can to be supportive of getting that project to happen, and hopefully it can happen without an abatement if the council doesn't pass it.
And I see you have a ribbon cutting ceremony for the Humane Center on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. A new facility?
Yes, brand new.
How did this come about? And I'm sure they're pretty excited to open.
Yeah, they're absolutely. They're open now, and the big kickoff, of course, will be this week. They've needed a new facility for many, many years, just didn't really have the money. They kind of partnered with Ivy Tech a few years ago and have made, obviously, tremendous progress to get this new building built. And it's exciting for us because that's where we take all of our animals, code enforcement. We have a contract with them, so does the county. And so they're kind of our municipal shelter, if you will, through contract. And it's important that they have a state-of-the-art facility that's clean, that they, you know, they're not spreading diseases, and they're able to function and do things in there better than they ever have been able to in the past. And so it's really an exciting thing for them, but it's also exciting for us.
Do you know, are they still fundraising, or how are they doing?
Yeah, I think they've got it pretty much paid for, yeah. But then you've got ongoing operating costs, and so they continue to fundraise. And you know, there's a lot of people that are very passionate about their animals and will help them out, but they could always use some more help.
What else am I missing? What else is on the mayor's desk?
You know, it's kind of in that in between. As we were talking earlier, you know, the students are leaving town. We're getting ready to start our summer projects. So it's kind of that, we're getting ready to start budgeting. So, you know, it's kind of that time where you just stop and reflect a little bit about and gear up for these things that we're doing, because you kind of have the pauses every once in a while throughout the year. And May is kind of a month like that for us as we get ready to start some big things. And you know, it's just, I can't believe it's May. You know, that's really kind of the bottom line. This year is going very quickly. The Rex baseball season will start here at the end of the month. That's always an exciting thing. And just, you know, there's always so many great activities around our Terre Haute community, the festivals. We got our big thing coming up at Fairbanks Park at the end of the month. And, you know, fireworks will be here for 4th of July. And so I guess it's just moving into that exciting time of summer.